This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Kuritzen. We are bringing you another great guest. Today's guest is no stranger to the show. Steve, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, we're bringing back Boston Loy. I believe it's the third or fourth episode we've had with him, and he's always an entertaining guest. So how you doing, Boston? How's life treating you these days?
Good, man. Everything's good. Today's my only off day from the gym, so kind of just laying back and chilling out.
Well, the biggest difference is that now you're a family man. So congrats, Boston.
I've always been a family man, to be honest. Like, I don't go to shows and I stay home. I like my daily routine. So nothing has changed in that aspect. And everyone's like, oh man, you're gonna lose a ton of sleep or everything's gonna change. And I'll be honest, man, like nothing has changed because Ariel has been that great of a mom. I haven't lost any sleep. So, I mean, everything's been going great. My training is at an all-time high. And when I mean training, you know, you guys, you know, training's the easy part. So that's always on point. But as far as my diet, I've never been this lean at 260. So everything's progressing in a good way for me. So, but I've actually stayed off social media. I haven't posted any progress pictures or anything.
What body fat percentage would you say you're at right now?
I'm pretty lean, man. I don't like to go by body fat because I have no clue. I do have lines in my glutes and I do have hamstrings, but because, I mean, I keep a clean diet all year round, man. Like, my carbs never go over. Like, yesterday was my high day. I haven't been doing any cheat meals. Yesterday was my high day, and I probably hit 500 carbs. And, like, today's my off day, so I'll only eat, like, I'll probably, like, 140 to 160. And my other carb days are probably about 200 carbs, so I don't really eat too many carbs, but what I did do is I bumped my fats up. I've been doing 2 servings of fats every meal instead of 1. So that's about 28 grams of fat per meal. And I've been staying lean because, I mean, I'm a big believer in excess carbs are what's going to get you fat. It's not the healthy fats that are going to really put on the fat.
Yeah, I'm a big, big fat guy, actually. My macros are extremely heavy with fat. What kind of fats are you attacking in your meals?
A lot of oils, extra virgin olive oil, lots of mac oil, whole eggs in the morning and night, coconut oil with my pre-workout meal. I've been doing a lot of grass-fed butter with my egg meals, but stuff like that. But honestly, that was my big thing that was holding me back. Is I was under eating fats because even in my contest prep, I do a serving per meal. So I'm like, you know what? Now that I'm trying to grow and put on some quality muscle, let's do 2 servings of fat per meal. And you know, too much carbs make you tired, you know, make you sluggish. Then you all this water weight comes on, and people wonder why they lose, you know, 20 to 30 pounds the first couple weeks they diet. It's they're holding all this water because a lot of these guys are using a shit ton of Lantus these days, which I use Lantus to keep my blood sugars regulated. So like 10 units in the morning and then 10 units at night. But there's guys doing 100 to 150 units of Lantus a day, and they're getting over 300 pounds, and then they compete at like 250. So to me, that's just putting on a ton of water and stressing your heart. But I really like to keep my carbs around training. So I do fasted cardio every morning, 30 minutes. That's my regimen, no matter what. And then I'll eat a breakfast meal with about 50 grams of carbs. And then I'll do my carbs around training with insulin, like my pre-workout meal, and then an intra shake with like Vitargo and grape juice, and then a post meal I'll do, you know, with like a beef with either potatoes or rice and some avocado or macadamia nut oil. But I try to really keep the carbs when I'm in a depleted state. So like if I'm overly full and bloated, I'm not going to just force carbs just to eat them. You know what I mean?
What does your fasted cardio look like? Is it pretty low intensity? Or are you going?
No, it's low. It's 120. I get my heart rate 120 to 130, like either incline treadmill, walk, or the bike.
And every single morning, 7 days a week.
Every day, it's like regimen for me. I wake up, I take my ECA stack or Clen. I'll do like 2 days on, 2 days off, and then I'll take 10 grams essential amino acids with 2 grams of leucine. And then I'll wait 20 to 30 minutes, and then I'll do cardio every single morning because I have it all at my house, so I don't have to leave the house.
You know what I would love Ariella to do is to take a photo of you changing a diaper. I think that would be so funny.
You know what, dude? I haven't changed one yet. I have not changed one yet. She's like so, like, she would let me if I wanted to, but she's been like so adamant on doing everything. So, like, I haven't changed one yet.
Maybe it's that Italian in her that makes her like that. That's how Mediterranean women are.
If you told me in 2014 she'd be a mom, I would like laugh about it. But she's been excellent, man. She's been, and she just started working out. She goes to my mom's house every day now because my mom has a full gym in her garage. So my mom will watch baby Jackson while she trains for like 30 minutes, you know?
Beautiful, man. Glad to hear the baby's healthy. How old is the baby now?
He's coming up on 3 months, so 11 and a half weeks.
Awesome. Okay. So what's the deal with you, Boston? Are you like going to get back into competing again? What are your goals now?
It's funny because like I do have an itch to compete, right? Like I do. Like I do have an itch to compete. But then like I sit back and I'm like, there's no way. Like, because I have a pec tear that kind of looks like shit. But sex, even if I didn't have the pec tear, when I look back at it, like, it's bodybuilding is not anywhere where the direction that I even like it. Like, I didn't even practice posing or put on posing trunks or a tan until I was at the show in my hotel room about to leave the thing. So, like, I love the process of it. Dude, the only thing competing would be good for me is I know for a fact that I would take my drug level to a whole nother game. Like, for example, like, I'm using all free shit that I get in the mail because I'm cheap. Like from people on my forum, I just use like gear that, you know, people send me, right? If I was to do a show, I would make sure I was using something like I knew what I was putting in my body, like Alpha Pharma or, you know, things that I have actually tested that I know that are like milligram per milligram. And I would run doses because you know exactly what you're putting in your body. I'd run only pharmaceutical grade GH probably, because even though there is a lot of good generics out there, I feel like there is a batches that are bad or good. So like you could have one great kit and then one shitty kit. So I would definitely run farm, but dude, it would like, if I did a show, I would probably prep for 6 weeks because that's all I would need. And then I would do like a gram of everything, like a gram of test, gram of Winstrol, gram of Primo, gram of Trend, gram of Mastron. And I would probably just go right into the show like that. But no, it's funny because I do have an itch, but I can't, man. Like I can't get over like how bad bodybuilding has become. Like, dude, the classic and the physique guys look way better than the bodybuilders. The bodybuilders are coming in fat. Like, it's unbelievable.
This is what you should do, Boston. You should compete, win a pro card, and then be like, you know what? I'm good. Thanks, though.
That's what I told Dave on his podcast like 2 weeks ago. I actually said a good goal of mine is like, let's say in 10 years when I'm like 35, I look in the mirror and I said, I can easily go pro. I just need to diet and come in shredded, right? And like I already have the muscle. Let's say I'm at the point where I already have the muscle maturity. I have the muscle. I would love to do a show, but obviously it couldn't be close because if it was close, they would never give it to me. I would have to be that much more better than, you know, all these guys and then reject the pro card. I think that would help my business so much is rejecting a pro card. That would be awesome.
So this kind of gets into our first user question that I have. I know Trevor has a bunch too, but they want to know, can you ask Boston, what is he running right now? What kind of steroids are you running? Is he running insulin? Is he running GH?
Yeah, so honestly, I'm on a pretty moderate cycle, but you guys wouldn't think it's moderate at all. You guys would think it's absurd, but I'm doing like 125 mgs of Test E, 125 mgs of Sustanon, 100 mgs of Prop every other day, and then I'm doing 200 Primo every other day. And then I'm doing 200 EQ every other day. And then pre-workout, I just started this a couple days ago. Pre-workout, I'm taking anywhere from 500 mcgs to 1 milligram of methyl tren pre-workout. That stuff's killer. It drenches me in sweat. And then like about three times a week, I'll do either 100 to 150 mgs of test suspension pre-workout, like on my weaker body parts days. And then I actually throw in some injectable tren suspension like once a week, one to two times a week on like a leg day. So that's a super moderate cycle for me. Like that's super moderate. Now I haven't been on trend for 6 weeks. I ran trend for a full year, guys. And I'll be honest, I ran trend for a full year at high dosages, anywhere from 600 mgs to a gram a week, right? And I came off a trend And guys, I was bedridden for 1 to 2 weeks. My digestion like shut down, my body like shut down. I was puking, I felt like shit. And I was talking to some other guy that ran Trend for that long and he cut it out and he had the same things. He couldn't do shit for like, it's like almost like your body just like, it was like it's so used to having it in your system. And then I cut it out, my
seems like we lost Boston.
So, I was going to do the Dallas McCarver cycle before my kid was born. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go crazy, right? Just one last experiment. And I bought these gallon, these are tested actually too. You can buy like 1,000 mLs, but I bought the 500 ml like packets that you just pour into a vial and you just, you know, and I got Test E, Primo, and Trend. And I was going to run like 8 grams of Test. I was going to run 3 grams of Trend and 3 grams of Primo a week. And honestly, people are like, how can you shoot that much oil? But that those three compounds are painless, right? I would easily be able to fit those in. Right now, I'm having trouble with the Test suspension because I'll knot up for a few days. But I wanted to run that cycle for a full like 6 weeks and see if there was any benefit to having my Test levels like through the roof. But I was like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm not going to do it.
You've had gyno surgery, right?
Correct. So I still run anti-estrogens, but I got my glands removed.
So that would be like my biggest concern is running that much tests, getting gyno, but then it wouldn't even be an issue for you.
No, I went to Dr. Blau, who does all like the top guys over in New York, and he's expensive. It was like, he's up to $9,000 in cash now because insurance doesn't cover it. But I wanted to make sure I went to the best in the world. So I traveled all the way to New York. And he got my glands out. And it was, dude, that was the best surgery I've ever had because gyno really was self-conscious for me. I would like never want to take my shirt off. If I was running tons of Trend or like Deca, I would get like really puffy lactation. After that surgery, man, I can't, it was a great surgery I had, honestly.
I mean, I remember you mentioned it. How much did it cost? I can't remember how much you said.
$6,000 cash for me.
That's not bad.
That was a Dave Plumber referral. But it depends how bad your gyno is. Some guys with like really bad gyno, they charge more. My procedure was only 30 minutes long, and they told me to take a full month off of training, and I couldn't do it, man. I started training like 4 days after, like a fucking idiot. I was doing lat pull downs like this, and I ripped a stitch out of my left nipple, and I still have scar tissue to this day from ripping that stitch out, dude. If you look close, you could see like where it ripped. It's fucked up.
One question I have for you, Boston, is with injecting this much oil, are you dealing with any like scar tissue issues, like anything like that?
A lot of people ask me that, and I'm big on never injecting a sore muscle. So everyone's like only, like most people, like you guys are on the TRT or lower dosages. You guys probably stick to one or two muscle groups that you pin. I shoot every muscle, guys. So every muscle on my body, I have worked in, and don't get me wrong, those first couple times of injecting them, it's a pain because injecting a virgin muscle hurts sometimes. But every single muscle, guys, even including my forearms, I have shot gear into. I haven't done forearms in a while, but I'm going to start doing them again. But by every head of my bicep, I do triceps, traps. I go everywhere, guys. So I rotate everywhere. So I never shoot a sore muscle. So I don't have much scar tissue buildup, I'll be honest.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I probably just do like 3 or 4 muscles. So
If I shoot each trap, each delt, each rear delt, each bicep head, each tricep head, each calf, each lat, there's you're never gonna run out of room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tried to do my calves one time. It was so bad. I was like,
to work up to my calves, it was torture. But guys, I could put like 3 cc's of Test suspension in my calves now and still be fine. Like, but in the beginning it hurt, but yeah, I've worked those fuckers up, man. Like it definitely, the beginning hurts. Those calves are like a fucking really sensitive muscle.
Do you have any like tips for how to reduce post-injection pain? Do you like heat up the oil? Do you like massage after the injection? Do you have any like tips like that?
Yeah. I like to mix a little bit of, a little bit of either ethyl oilate or cottonseed oil, sterile cottonseed oil with my shots. So I do like 2 cc's of gear or 1.5 cc's of gear with 1.5 cc's of sterile oil to volumize. So you're not putting that many milligrams actually into the muscle. That seems to help a lot. So that's what I do. And I like to volumize. Like I never shoot less than 3 cc's because I just think it's kind of dumb. Like, I don't know. I just would rather volumize.
You're getting the most bang for your buck that way. So I got a question from James. I'm curious if Boston has kept in touch with Musclehead and just about the whole situation of him going to jail in general.
Yeah, so me and Musclehead talk every day, guys. I did not know this, but in the feds, guys, it's pretty laid back. He has like unlimited foods as long as he has commissionary money, which he does because he sells his ebook. He has a phone in there, so we text, we message on Instagram. He's actually currently on his Instagram, using his Instagram to promote his ebook and stuff. So guys, it's almost like, yeah, I don't see him because he's in jail, but communication is just like any other day. In the feds, it's pretty laid back, man. They have a full gym in there. He can get like unlimited protein, so he could keep a good diet in there. Like he sends me like those tuna packs that they pictures. I didn't know how laid back the feds was. They get like a full menu of like 50 item menus. I saw the menu. It's pretty crazy, man. It's like a sick dinner menu that they have. I don't know, man. The phones, bicycles, playgrounds, all that shit. So, I mean, it's like they want to keep them comfortable because they probably don't want these guys to like rage and shit. But yeah, feds is so chill that me and him talk every day, man. And we text, so it's crazy.
And how many years did he end up getting?
So they got him for us. Because Musclehead is such a solid dude, he could have did what 90, I think it's like a 98% rate, or 95 or 98% rate of people that rat. So Musclehead, I know him like I know his morals. This guy refuses to rat. They even told me, they called him multiple times out of his cell and tried to offer him deals. He says, fuck you guys, send me back to my cell. They got him for 11 years, guys. So he got convicted for 11 years, and he thinks he'll probably do like 4 to 6 years in prison, and then he thinks he'll probably do like another 2 years in like a halfway house or something. But yeah, he could have done what everyone else did and rat like a little bitch and get like 2 years or something. But no, he took his consequences, man, just like I would do, and he paid his time, so... like I said, it was his second offense, guys. If it wasn't his second offense, he wouldn't have got as much time. He had gotten locked up for selling coke like years back. So I guess in the Fed system, it's a point system. So like your points add up. But yeah, man, we talk every day. And like I said, it's unfortunate because he's a good dude. He just got caught up in the wrong line of business. And people always ask me like, did you know? I knew he had like a part in like a company like that, but I had no idea how big it was. Like we never talked about that. I had no idea how big that lab was. When people hired me, they'd be like, I'm using Onks because Musclehead, you know, told me about them or whatever. So a lot of people were using them. I just didn't know he was affiliated to that extent where he was actually a owner of the company. I had no clue.
Do you know if guys are getting gear in prison?
Guys are getting what?
Are they getting gear?
Are they getting gear in prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he said that they do have Anadrol in there. I think they may have Clen in there. I don't think he didn't say he can get any injectables, though, but they do say they do have Anadrol in there. And I don't even know how they can get that shit in there. Obviously, the prison guards are bringing it in.
It must cost a lot in prison, hey?
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, it seems like, you know... They do give you jobs there, so I think you do have to work. I think he works in the food court, but it seems like it's fucking pretty chill back, man. Like, but the worst part about him, man, is he has 2 kids, right? So he can't see his kids, so that's the hardest part for him. But let's say a normal criminal who's a lowlife, doesn't have any family, these guys would rather be in prison than be homeless because they're getting all the, they have a playground, weights, you know, so for for all these criminals, it's almost like I'd rather be in jail. So that's why these guys come out of jail and they commit crimes again, because they'd just rather go back, you know?
Steve, do you want me to ask the next listener question, or do you want to ask one?
This one is another one. They wanted to know something about a doctor. You got in kind of a controversy with some doctor like 1 or 2 months ago. And I remember seeing something like that on, I think, Dave Palumbo's podcast or something. I heard something like that, but I wasn't sure what that story was all about. Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, so Muscular Development, you guys are familiar with them. Steve Bleckman called me, the owner of Muscular Development, and he wanted me to do a series on there called Real Talk, meaning I talk my mind about certain subjects. And guys, I don't hold back. I don't lie. I have no reason to lie. So I went on a rampage on Muscular Development, and Ron Harris loved it. And he put it up. He put my video up. And then Steve Bleckman, the owner, he heard it and he fucking like had a panic attack, and he took it down because he thought he was going to get sued and shit. So that video lasted for like 24 hours on Muscular Development before it got pulled down, and everyone was pissed it got pulled down. So then I put it back up on my YouTube, the same video, because I had it saved on my computer, and it got all these hits. Like, it, within like 2 or 3 days, it had like 50,000 views on it, because everyone was wondering, what did Boston say that got it pulled off MD? So in my regard, it helped my business, because all these people were hitting me up. I was getting like, everyone was blowing me up. My business was doing great. And then just maybe a month ago, YouTube removed it. It was my, like, the first video they ever removed. And they said they removed it for, because I was defamation of character or whatever. And they removed it. And I tried to fight it. And I said, fuck you guys, this is all true. And they still removed it. But I said in the beginning, I go, yeah, I said, you know, you don't have to like my videos. You don't have to watch them. But I said, you know, just like I said, because they have a Dr. O'Connor on there, is one of their doctors. And I think he's a fraud, because I've had a couple run-ins with him. He's like begged me to come out to Florida to do videos with me, because nobody watches his shit. He gets like 1,000 views on all of his videos and like 500 views. So he was trying to use like me in a way. So I was like, I mentioned it in the video. I said, he's a phony fucking doctor. He thinks he knows everything, but I don't know if you guys, I had an interview with him and it went like an hour long, and the guy was talking about himself the whole time. And I was like, wow, that was pointless. But the whole thing was kind of funny, because he was a doctor for MD, and I'm doing a video on MD that was posted, and I'm talking shit about their doctor that they have. So they got all pissed and they took the video down.
That makes sense. I mean, you're just talking your mind. I mean,
yeah, I mean, if you're gonna fucking hire me to do a true talk video and want me to go and talk to about people, and the questions were on there, I was just answering. Ron Harris sent me the questions of the listeners to answer, so I was just answering the questions, and they didn't like it. But I mean, it was funny, because I was able to repost it anyways.
Yeah, so you ended up in the positive in the end. So it's
exactly.
So Sayan asks, hey, Trevor, absolutely love the podcast and the information you and the boys provide. One of my questions for Boston would be, what was the biggest factor that got him into bodybuilding and eventually using anabolic compounds to grow his physique? Thanks.
Well, my parents got me into bodybuilding because they were both bodybuilders. They had me guest posing at the age of 7. I was actually raising money for the Ronald McDonald House with kids with cancer. I was guest posing, and then we would go out in the audience and collect, you know, dollar bills from, you know, people. And we sent it all down to the Ronald McDonald House. So they got me into bodybuilding. Like, my parents were both hardcore bodybuilders, great bodybuilders. My mom was Miss Natural Universe. My dad was Mr. California. So they got me into it. But honestly, dude, they hid the steroid use for me. Like, my dad was open. He said, oh yeah, they use steroids, but he never really like told me like what to take or anything. But my stepdad was a power lifter, and he would like let me see him do his shots, and he would like show me like, you know, what his stash, and I just thought it was the coolest shit ever, like, you know, his stash of steroids, and I would always like look at it. Yeah, and I remember he was using Univet, which was that shit from Mexico. And one day I snuck into his room, I was like 16 or 17, And I got a vial of tests, and I got one of the needles, but it was an insulin needle, and I thought it was for the fucking steroids. And I pulled out 10 units of this test, and I thought that was like one cc, and I shot it in my leg, and I was limping, dude, for like 3 or 4 days. And my dad was like, "What the fuck's wrong with you?" And I was like, "Oh, Dad, I'm sorry." I said I was training. I just trained legs way too hard. But yeah, I was sneaking steroids from him. But I thought I was taking all this fucking gear, and I was taking 10 units on an insulin syringe. It was so stupid. But my stepdad got me into the whole steroid thing for sure, 100%.
Now that you're established, now that you're making a good career in the industry, what do your parents think of the whole steroid thing now?
Dude, my mom is like, it's kind of crazy to think. My mom actually had called the cops on me for steroids. And when I was like 17 or 18, I was going to leave the house because I just didn't want to live there anymore. And I had money saved up because I was selling, you know, a little bit of drugs on the side. And I was leaving. And she called the cops on me because she was flipping out. And she goes, they come over and she goes, "He has steroids in his room. Go look in his room. He has steroids in his room." And dude, those cops were, and I had a show in like 2 weeks. I was 19. It was a show that I did in Culver City, Torrance, California, or whatever. And the cops were so cool about it, dude. They're like, "Ma'am, we're not here for the steroids. Like, we're here to fix the situation." They didn't care. They just walked out of the house because they saw my mom was like oblivion, and I was calm. But dude, my mom is pro steroids now. Like, not pro steroids to abusing them, but she has all of her boyfriends on TRT. She gives them a shot of test every week. The guys love it. They fucking love testosterone. They love how they feel on it. Cause these guys are old guys. They're like, my mom likes older guys. So these are guys like anywhere from like 65 to 80. So she gives them like a shot of Sustanon a week or whatever. And these guys are fucking, they just feel better, look better, and more energy. So my mom has went from fuck steroids, like this and that, because, you know, obviously my dad used a ton of steroids, and, you know, she's used steroids obviously in the past, but she was so anti-steroids with me, but she's pro steroids. And my dad just goes along with the ride, guys. He's just like, what the fuck, you know? And you know, because he was a steroid user, but they used such little gear back then compared to what we use. So when I tell him about insulin and growth hormone, which they, you know, weren't really even using in the early 80s, he's like, why would you need that? You know, because they were all like test and DECA, you know, and then they, you know, cut on this drug name called Blasterone, which was a parabol and test prop and Anavar injectable mix. And that's what they used. They used.
Steve, I saw
you guys freeze up.
Yeah, maybe turn off your video. You're freezing a little bit.
It looks good now. Am I freezing now? No.
No, now you're good. Okay. You were saying that they were using something called Blasterope or something.
Blasterone, and all the guys in the 80s I talked to, they all used it. It was called Blasterone. It was a test prop, parabolin, and an injectable Anavar mix, and it was like, I think, and they would shoot like a cc a day of that stuff. And that was my dad's favorite drug. I think it was like 76 milligrams of parabolin. I think it was like 50 mgs of test prop, and I want to say 50 mgs of Anavar all in one. And that was what they used pre-contest. It's all he used. I think at his last show, they added like oral Winstrol in or something. But that's all he used for his cutting shows.
So before I get to the next user question, following up on what you said about your mom getting, freaking out over you using steroids at 17. What will you do in 16 years if you?
No, I was actually 19 at that time.
Oh, okay. So, but you started at 17.
Correct. I started taking pro hormones at 17, and okay. My first real steroid cycle at 18.
Okay. So your son now, in another 18 years, if you were to walk in and see him, you know, using steroids, would you encourage it, or would you be like, "Hey,
I would smile and want to help him. I would be cool with it." But it's funny, man, because I was going to start my first real cycle at 17, and I was eating all these pro hormones, and I was blowing up. and my parents were in pro hormones or steroids, as you guys know. And I was blowing up, and my parents actually, when I was at work, guys, they raided my whole room, and I thought I had my gear stashed very well. Literally a week before I was going to start my first real cycle, they found my gear, guys. I cried at work when they came in and told me they found my shit because I was going to start it that week. But hey, when I was 18, they gave it all back to me. So, well, my mom didn't approve of that, but my dad gave it back to me when I hit 18. But yeah, dude, if my son wanted to use, dude, I would fucking love it. I feel like I could set his career up, dude. Like father and son, just like get him ready for teenage shows, teach him nutrition, teach him training, teach him the drug side of it. And you know, it's gonna advance. So if I got him into it, his era will be so much more advanced than our era, but I could teach him what I already know, and he's going to pick up new things that he could probably teach me. I think our kid has to get into working out if both of his parents are into it, but I'm not going to force anything on him. When he's older, I'm just going to say, hey, son, I'm going to go to the gym. I'll see you later. And if he's like one day says, hey, dad, can I come with you? I'd be, you know, completely for it. But I don't have anything wrong with steroid use, guys. I mean, would you rather have your kid use steroids or being a loser smoking weed under a tunnel with his buddies, you know? So I don't know. All those kids are on some type of drug, whether it's, you know, whether it's coke, heroin, you know, so who knows? But I would definitely be a four. I would want to help him.
What are you going to do if your kid ends up being like a gamer who's like into chess and like reading?
Oh, dude, I would be so disappointed. I wouldn't do anything about it, but I'd be very disappointed.
Well, he has definitely the parents, so he's got the genetics and the parents.
Like, if he was like one of those video game nerds, like I would be real disappointed for sure.
We'll see what happens. So, like, on that note, have you ever used like recreational drugs, like coke, heroin?
I've tried pretty much everything. So I tried coke once. I've tried weed a handful of times. That shit's horrible. It makes me lazy and sleepy. I guess that's all I've tried, really. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, when I had my infection, I took some tramadol and some Vicodin for the pain. But on a regular basis, guys, I don't use any recreational drugs. It's strictly steroids. Like, you know, like Rich Piana was using like all the like concoctions of shit. I stick to, you know, my steroids and that's it. But I've tried coke. Tried weed. What else?
Yeah, you're freezing up again, Boston.
I beat it.
We got your back now. We got your back. We missed what you just said. You there?
Using a new bank. Huh?
Yeah, we missed what you just said. You froze up again. Are you there? Yeah, guys, we're having some technical difficulties. Let's see if we can get Boston back here. Trevor, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. One question I have for you, Steve, is have you ever done coke? I've never tried it. Steve, you're on mute.
I have not, bro. I have not. I did pot a couple times in Jamaica, but I've never done recreational drugs other than that.
Boston, so. me and Steve were pussies. We've never done coke. what's it like? I heard it's like taking like the most incredible pre-workout ever. I heard it's like you just have this like surge of energy and it feels like you can just like, you feel like Superman.
So at first I didn't use it right. I didn't chop it up because nobody told me how to do it right. And I tried to snort it, and I remember I was doing cardio, and these coke pieces were falling out of my nose. And then I told my buddy that I got it from, like, I didn't fucking feel shit, dude. He's like, you gotta, you know, really grind it up. So then I did it in the right time. Who knows how much I took? I don't even know. But my gum clear, but it only lasted for like an hour or so, and that was great, guys. I did 30 minutes of cardio, and it felt like I only did like 10 minutes. You know what I mean? it was great. But honestly, I wouldn't use it again. It wasn't a drug that I was like, wow, I need more of it. I gave it to Ariella and I said, I just keep taking it till I run out of it. But my dad was, the reason why I wanted to try it is my dad was a big Coke user back in the day. He dieted, you know, they didn't have Clen back then. So he dieted on Coke and he dieted, you know, they didn't use ephedra. So I wanted to know, like, what did my dad love so much about Coke? And that's a big reason my parents, I guess, moved out of Northern California is because he had a big Coke problem. So I just wanted to try it, but I thought it was nothing special. Now, I'd way rather do Coke than weed because I actually got shit done on Coke. I didn't get anything done on weed. You know what I mean?
Okay. So we have another question here. It's another controversy. I don't know much about this, so I'm just going to ask the question. He wants to know, why did you have a beef with Matt Porter and how did that get resolved?
Oh, it's not resolved. I don't have a beef with him. Like, there's no problem, but I just don't have I don't respect a guy that, you know, bullshits about TRT and Anavar and I built my physique with this little and trying to brag about how much he knows and this and that. And, you know, As a coach, I haven't heard much bad about him, so I never have bashed him for that. But as far as his own assumptions, like, for instance, I know that back in the day he told me what he used to use, right? And then he went on Dave Palumbo's podcast and say he said the most trend he's ever used was 50 milligrams every day. And I know that's bullshit. So he lies for his, like, own incentive, like, look how good I look on this little. And I just got kind of sick of it. And he started popping into shows that he was training his clients for and all that shit. And I like kind of just lost respect for him. But there's no beef. Like, I just call people out for doing dumbass shit, you know? There's not anyone, guys, there's not anyone that I hate in the industry. Like, there's not anyone that I would see at a gym or an expo and be like pissed, like that motherfucker. Like, I laugh at that shit, but I guess I guarantee you there's people that probably hate me.
I was gonna ask you, like your haters, like, have they ever come up to you and be like, hey, you know, bro, I hope we hash, you know, let's hash it out, blah blah blah, like in expos and stuff, or do they just ignore you?
Guys, I've helped so many people. It happened at this recent show I went to that my buddy was at. Did we lose Trevor?
No, I just turned off my video. I'm hoping that makes the Wi-Fi better.
Okay, so anyways, yeah, so I actually have seen a few people that have, like, fucking threatened me online, and I'll look at them, guys, and they won't even look at me. I've never had an issue because I'm not a confrontational person, but I'm also not a bitch. Like, if you're going to come up to me and, like, say something, I'll say it right back to them, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care, but I've never had an issue in person. You know, I've expected to have issues, but I've never had.
So, like, people that talk trash online, have you run into them in person and just, like, they act like nothing's wrong? And
all the time. I run into them a lot sometimes, even at the gym. And I know of people that have talked shit about me and who supposedly hate me. And I'll stare at them. I'll look at them. Like, I'll glance at them. And they'll see me and they'll look away. Like, I think a lot of these bodybuilders are just all talk, dude. Like, because I make it a point to look at them, and they won't even look at me. So who knows?
Well, I mean, you're an intimidating looking guy. I mean, no one's going to fuck with you.
A lot of the guys that talk shit, guys, I'll be honest, they're more smaller. Like, they might be like pro bodybuilders and stuff, but they're like 5'5", 5'6", like probably like losers that like got bullied in high school. So I don't know. I've never had an issue. Maybe I will, you know, maybe who knows, I'll have to, you know, fight somewhere, but I really doubt it. You know, I really doubt it because a lot of people talk to talk, but when you see them in person, they fade away.
Well, you had that big beef with Rich Piana. Was that legit or was that just like marketing on his end?
I didn't find it as beef. I found it funny. Like, he made a video about me, like an hour long, talking about my penis. I thought it was hilarious.
Bubby, did he do that for marketing purposes, or was it actually like serious?
No, he was pissed. Like, he was actually pissed.
You still met with him. You said, I thought, on our last podcast, and he didn't say anything to you, correct?
No, he wanted to meet up and do a shoot, and then he passed away like a month later. Yeah, he had called me. He called me like 2 weeks before he died. He wanted to meet up and get a video in. And I was like, sure, I don't mind. I'll meet you at the powerhouse down there. And he died like a week later.
Okay, so he was straight with you before he died. Everything was square.
Yeah, but honestly, guys, like, if he was to call me at any point and want to talk, I think we'd be fine regardless. Like, in the gym, like, let's say if he made that dick video. Like, I think all that's funny, man. Like, he didn't threaten my family. Like, Rich knows my dad on a personal level. He could have said, like, personal shit. He didn't. He didn't take it to a personal level, except, like, when him talking about my dick, like, I don't take that personal because my dick's on the internet, so everyone could see it. So, like, I didn't really care. But, no, like, I honestly, guys, like, if anyone was to talk shit to me or threaten me online and they were to come up to me in person and, like, be cool with me and try to talk to me, I would talk to them. Like, I wouldn't be pissed. Like, I'm not an angry person at all.
We had a couple of listener questions on the whole Jeremy Buendida. What was all that about, Boston?
Well, I'm hoping that Dave is going to do a video with me on this very soon. This is the first time I've publicly went out about this and actually have told anyone. But Jeremy Buendia's I'm not going to get into detail here because I obviously have to talk to my lawyer about it. But Jeremy Buendia's lawyer sent me and Dave threatening papers. We haven't got served yet, but there are papers that basically said, hey, if you don't take this and this down, we're going to sue you and this and that. But he told Dave, I want you to take the video down. And then he told me that he wants me to take my post down on Instagram, which, dude, it's kind of weird. They want me to take the picture down I put a comparison picture of me and Jeremy Buendia side by side, like us really close side by side. And I said, who has the better physique? He wants me to take that down because legally he says it's a bad picture of him. And I'm making the four-time Mr. Olympia look bad. And that's part of a lawsuit. But they want to pinch me for $25,000. It says, take down the post and pay me $25,000 and we won't sue you. But if you pay us $25,000 to take down the post, we won't sue. So obviously, guys, I'm not going to pay $25,000 because I have proof of everything I said on that video. So it was kind of insulting to me. I felt kind of insulted when I went out there to the FedEx guy and I opened up the paper and signed for it and read that I was lying about me selling him drugs because I used to sell him drugs back in 2013. And I was kind of mad because I was like, wow, I don't really have any proof that I sold him the drugs, but I used to always supply him. So I was kind of like insulted, right? And then Dave was like, do you have any emails or texts? And I looked through my old iPhone and there was no text in there from him. Obviously, because when you're a drug dealer, you don't fucking save texts. You delete them every few weeks. But I had a text from one of his clients that said, hey, I'm one of Jeremy Buendia's clients. He sent me over for some drugs. But check this out, guys. Dave was like, check your email, right? I was like, I'll check my email. Guys, I have PayPal receipts of him sending me money for the drugs in the email. So we've told his lawyer already that we have that, and so far nothing's happened, but we have proof of everything I said, so I don't see the issue, but I don't think legally you could sue me for posting a bad picture of someone. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, that sounds weird. Is Dave your father-in-law or something? No,
same last name. Dave's been a mentor for me. He coached me when I won my first show. The Contra Costa when I won the overall. He's been a mentor for me. Me and Dave are cool. But he's not a father-in-law. He just has the same last name as Ariella. But a lot of people do still think that. But yeah, so me and Dave, we're going to fight that. We already sent my lawyer and his lawyer sent him something saying, because, like, honestly, you can't be like, hey, I posted a normal bodybuilding picture of him that's on the internet. You can find it on the internet. And so who knows? But like I said, man, Jeremy has this persona of I'm a bad motherfucker, you know, look at me. But then he's getting sensitive over shit I said that was true about him because he got a backlash from it. So it's like, look, man, I'm honest with what I say. Why would I lie to people and incriminate myself saying I sold you drugs back in 2013 if it's not true? You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm glad I have these PayPal receipts that have him sending me money for the drugs. Because if I didn't, how can I prove that, you know, that was true? But then again, in court, I feel like, look, if you can't prove it's not true, you have to prove that it's true, right? I don't know, but it should be that way.
Well, in the court system, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. But I agree with you, Boston. That would almost be like, I'm out with a bunch of guys. We take a group photo. I look horrible in the photo. Maybe like I'm picking my nose or something, right? And then one of them posts it and he says like, great night out with the boys or something.
And then you send them a court letter in the mail saying you posted a bad picture of me.
Yeah, at the most I would do is maybe send him a text and say like, hey man, like I look really bad in that photo. Do you mind just like taking it down? And most likely he'd be just like, you know what, dude, totally, I'll take it down.
Yeah. And honestly, man, if Jeremy sent me a message and he said, hey man, like, you know, I know all this is true, but it's really hurt my career. My sponsor's getting on me because I think his sponsors got on him because I said some pretty fucking real shit about him that people went off about him on that video. And I would have gladly have probably taken the post down if it was affecting his personal life. But guys, I had way more on Jeremy personally that I could have personally attacked him with his relationships, with him as a person, with what he's done to people. I could have gone even way farther with stuff that I could prove that was true, but I didn't because I don't like personal attacks. But I was going with my actual instances with Jeremy, how I used to sell him drugs, how he threatened to fight me at a show, and I showed up waiting for him and he never showed up. I was listing facts of our personal relationship, how our personal relationship had went, and that was it. And you know, to get a lawsuit saying, or threatening paper saying, pay us $25,000, first, that goes to show you that he's not the $5 millionaire that he's $5 million. He makes five or has worth $5 million that he says he is. Because if he was worth $5 million, he wouldn't be trying to pinch someone for $25,000. That's for damn sure.
I have. You want to follow up on that, Trevor, or no?
I'm just kind of amazed at the whole situation.
Yeah, I'm amazed too, because he's supposed to be like Mr. O, you know, and physique guy, and he's acting like a child. I don't know, it's weird, but you know, that's kind of fucked up.
My first reaction would be like, let's say someone posts like a horrible photo of me or something, before contacting a lawyer and getting like official lawyer documents written up and spending thousands of dollars on lawyer fees, I'd probably try to message the guy, you know, and be like, hey man, do you mind taking down that photo?
That's what I would think. And I didn't receive any, he has my number. So, and I have his number. He didn't send me shit. So, you know, he just got that. But like I said, he acts like he's his big hard ass on the internet, but you know, he's actually one of the most sensitive guys I know.
You should send him a text and be like, hey man, I got a deal going on with a Sus 250 right now. You want some?
That'd be great.
So we have we only got about 10 minutes left. I want to get to one more user question on my end, in case Trevor has one. But this guy wants to know, can you ask Boston what has he learned in the past year when it comes to diet and training?
Training always to me is the easy part, like 10%. I would say if you're getting in the gym, picking, you know, three or four exercises, doing 3 to 4 sets each and failing, you know, with in between that rep range, and you're hitting the muscle hard and intense with not too much rest, and you're not losing your pump, and you're in and out, guys, it doesn't get much better than that. And even Dave Palumbo, we've mentioned, like, I think all these guys doing these triple drop super sets and giant sets and all this shit, you're not going to get any better result than if you trade, you know, straight sets, failing at each, you know, rep range from 6 to 10. Like I said, if you keep the form tight, you progressively, you know, the weight comes up as your form, you know, stays the same and you're getting stronger, that's a good sign. As far as nutrition always to me is, it's just as interesting as drugs to me, because fats around workouts, carbs around workouts, when to implement the fats, high protein, all these people are doing super low protein now, like, you know, 4 to 5 ounces per meal. And or people are going vegan and claiming it's, you know, they're gaining muscle. But nothing really on the diet side except a balanced diet. I believe in having high protein, moderate carb, moderate fat. I don't believe in going like fucking all fat or all carb. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
I don't know what it is right now, Boston, but it seems like all these pro bodybuilders now are going, look, I developed all this muscle. I'm running just TRT. I'm a vegan. I intermittent fast 20 hours per day. And then I eat a completely plant-based diet. Look at all the chia seeds and greens powdered I'm drinking.
It's funny you say that, man. I just made a post about that, like literally the other day. Okay, I always tell people, did you build that physique eating greens powders, drinking your greens powders and veggies, sticking to a vegan diet? No. What you did was you took massive amounts of drugs, you had a high protein diet, and you did that for 10 to 15 years. Then for 6 months, you decide to go back to TRT dose and a vegan diet, and you keep 85% of what you had when you were at your prime, and now all of a sudden, look what I've done on a vegan diet. It's very misleading. And I'm sure you agree, right?
I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's what I always tell people. I'm like, whoa, wait. He didn't get to be a 300-pound monster doing that. He's doing that now that he's already built all the mass.
Correct. And as you know, it's not hard to maintain muscle size once it's been on your frame for 10 years. You know what I mean? So I made a post about that the other day, man. I was so sick of it because there's this guy I follow named Robbie Gold, and he was posting that he's a 300-pound bodybuilder, and he went vegan for 2 months, guys. And he's been posting, oh, I'm vegan, vegan this. Look at my physique on vegan. And it's like, look, man, you've been training since you were 17 years old and you're like 38. And now all of a sudden you're a vegan for 2 months and look what you've done with a vegan diet. It's just, it's so frustrating.
Steve, you got anything to add?
What do you think is the motivation behind people kind of misleading, saying, oh, I'm on a TRT dose? Are they just trying to like sell you on the fact that, hey, my supplements are magic? What are they trying to sell?
I think it's a trend. I think it's like, look what I could do on so little, or, you know, like kind of like what Matt Porter does, like, look, man, like, oh, and then people look at him and be like, oh, he has to have some magic approach. You know, like I always get this email, guys, you guys are going to like this one a lot because I'm going to put this guy on blast probably any day now. There's a coach out there called AJ Sims. He calls himself the cement factory, and everyone and a lot of his clients come in really well conditioned. And everyone messages me like, what's his secret for these guys coming in so dry? Guys, there's no fucking secret. Okay. He has his guys run, I've never even heard of this, 200 mgs of Winstrol a day in contest prep, 25 mgs of Aromasin, 2.5 mgs of Letro, and Novadex. And on low carbs and cardio, of course you're going to be dry as fuck. There's no special foods he's making you eat. It's simple. You're crushing your estrogen to nothing, and you're running DHT hardening compounds. So, you know, there's no secrets out there. There really isn't. Like, the whole thing about Kuwait chicken and all this shit, a lot of these guys are leaving Kuwait and looking way better in America because they're realizing there is no fucking secret in Kuwait. You know what I mean?
Whoa. So getting dry isn't all about taking some magic herbal diuretic milk thistle tea?
That's what they think, man. They think this coach has some special remedy that's making these guys get dry, and it's not. He has them run a ton of DHT drugs, a ton of halotestin. You know, I'm gonna post the drug cycle that he sends to all of his clients. But there's no magic pill, guys, and I always tell, like, diet is, it should be simple. You should be eating complex carbohydrates or, you know, fast-acting carbs whenever you need them. You don't have to, like, I see these diets, guys, that people send me when they hire coaches, of their coach having them, like, eat like crazy shit, guys. Like, oh, mix this with this, mix with this with this. And, guys, I couldn't be, I like simple. I wouldn't be able to follow a diet. It's like, why can't you have a, you know, chicken and brown rice and some broccoli and some healthy fats and some eggs, you know, here and there? It's like, why do you have to make it so complicated for your client to go get this and this and that? And they're running around the grocery store in circles getting candy for their intro workout shakes. They're doing, you know, fucking this and that. It's insane.
Good news, Coach. I went to 17 different grocery stores, but I finally found purple asparagus.
Exactly.
We're all set.
Man. Stupid shit like that. And then, like, I get this question, like, hey, Coach, can I use, instead of almond butter, can I just use, you know, like, peanut butter? Oh, no, almonds have a special fat in them that's going to make you leaner. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Or – It just blows my mind, dude, some of the shit I hear.
I actually literally legitimately had a client email me today because I wrote asparagus in his diet, and he asked, should I be buying green, white, or purple asparagus?
What the hell?
I say get whatever's cheapest.
Exactly, right? Whatever's cheapest. Like, if brown rice is on sale, get the brown rice. If white rice is get it on sale, get that. I like to keep it simple, man. Like, my clients, I do usually 2 egg meals, 2 chicken meals, and 2 beef meals. Like, I keep it real simple.
So, boss, we got about 5 minutes left. For our listeners, give a plug to your Research Chem site and give a plug to your supplement site.
Yeah, so the Research Chemical site is www.3cc, which is 3ccc, research.com. So www.3ccresearch.com. And for my supplements, that's easy. It's www.3ccstore.com.
Boston sent me a tub of his pre-workout. I took half a scoop. Dude, I've never been so wired before in my life.
Yeah, that shit's strong, man. And, like, it soaks me. I don't know if it's because the ephedra or whatever, you know, the concoction, but I sweat so much on that stuff.
So your Research Chem site does have BPC, because I would love to try that. I haven't tried that yet.
That shit works miracles.
It's really, like, good.
Yeah, we carry it. I started carrying it after we only started carrying it like 3 to 5 months ago, because I had my pec tear, and my pec tear was only like 75% in the gym, like, it was still fragile. So I started mixing TB500 and BP57 in the same syringe and shooting it in my pec tear. And guys, within like literally days, I thought it was placebo. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't feel it. I don't feel my tear. It's not fragile. I'm like, this has to be in my head. And sure enough, guys, it wasn't in my head. That shit actually worked. So I was like, I gave it to my mom because she has all these nagging injuries. And she started putting it in her shoulder. All of a sudden, she's doing raises again. She's like, wow. She goes, I need more of that. She goes, you have more of that magic joint stuff? I go, mom, I'll get some more for you. Don't worry. She's always begging me for it. But that stuff works, man. Like, I read the reviews online, and I was like, did people get paid to, like, make up these reviews? And then I had one client that tore his fucking – I forgot what he tore in his knee, but he went to the he's in the VA. He went to one of his doctors, and he's like, you're going to need surgery. So anyways, he postponed the surgery and started doing the BPC and the TB500 into his knee. And all of a sudden, he was like 3 months. He's back into training, didn't need any surgery or anything. I don't know what the hell's – does that, but I mean, it's pretty crazy. And I've came off of it for months, and it actually healed it. It's not like something I do it now once or twice a week for maintenance now, but it's not something that it's like, oh, it's like not like a cortisone shot where you take it and it's only good for a few months. But the problem is people think you need to take a crazy dose for it, and I think it's people trying to make money on these guys. Like, I hear people saying you need to take 2.5 to 5 mgs of TB500 a week. Guys, that would get so expensive. You don't need that much of this stuff for it to work. I just I do 10 units of each. I mix each bottle with 1 cc of backwater, and I do 10 units of each, and I do it like every other day when I started. And people think you need these crazy dosages, but you don't.
Gosh, I would love to run it, because I've had I have nerve damage in both my elbow and my neck. You had the same thing on your elbow, I remember.
Before you buy it, email me or text me or whatever. Trevor has my WhatsApp. I'll shoot you a really fat friends and family coupon code. You'll really love that stuff, man. I promise you'll like it.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. Do you want to make a coupon code for our listener? Maybe Evo Radio.
Yeah. So there's a coupon. Yeah, I can make a code for them. But if anyone wants to go in there and order a discount, everyone would remember this coupon code. It's I love anal beads in caps locks. So make sure it's in caps locks, and it's I love anal beads. That's a good coupon code. But for you guys, send me an email or a text, and I'll show you guys a really fat code.
So it's I Love Anal Beads?
Correct. And Trevor, I've sent you some research stuff, right?
Yeah, it was top-notch stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, Boston, we really appreciate you coming on the show. For your host, Trevor Kuritsin, for my co-host, Steve Smee, and for our special guest, Boston Lloyd, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.